Hello, this is September 1st, Tuesday, 2009, time is 12:15 p.m. Hawaii time, copyright 2009, New Grand View Incorporated, all rights reserved. It's reading number 133, Carolyn and J.W. and Ion.
Good evening.
Good evening.
What do you want to know about the Ides of March?
The Ides of March.
Ides of March.
Is that in my brain, or is that just the starting point of something?
No, we're just asking. It'll come along. It'll be about then when Bob catches up, so maybe it'll be a perfect topic for today.
You leave Bob alone.
It's wonderful. They say, you can't believe it. I was listening to the tapes, and it was talking about the Ides of March, and here it is, the Ides of March, and they showed up at the same time.
Yes.
Imagine that.
Mm-hmm. It's happening every day with him.
Yes, indeed. How delicious. Now, you had some askings or some developed direction that you would like to engage, and we are happily ready to fully, thoroughly embrace whatever it is that you would like to convey.
Okay. Well, what we last talked about with one of the emails from Ion, the labyrinth of the mind, is it a good time to go into that topic? Good timing.
If you're talking about the tick-tock of the metronome, wonderful.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to figure out the false premise of what you call time, then maybe not.
Yeah.
That's okay. The labyrinth of the mind, the dynamic of what that's trying to embrace is that you have this labyrinth. Now, do you need a definition of a labyrinth?
Maybe we do.
Okay. Shall we give one, or would you like to trust yours?
No, you go ahead. I'd love
okay.
it from you.
It is an organized puzzle of direction that lays out for the one participating in the labyrinth,
mm-hmm.
constant, never-ending, preordained choices.
Mm-hmm.
So at each intersection of the labyrinth, the puzzle, the maze, you make choices.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who said that the labyrinth, like we always draw the parallel there of the rat chasing the cheese
mm-hmm.
through the maze, through the labyrinth? Many people find that their lives are about that way.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the treadmill, they're on the little wheel spinning, and they're going real fast, but they're not getting anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They're distracted in their place of beingness, and they'd hoped for so much more. When they're losing the deliciousness and letting it pass them by, when they're just going around in a circle, and the only way they can make it is to run faster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the choices that the individual has within the labyrinth, there's two different ways of saying it. That's why we gave both.
Mm-hmm.
Of you can go forward, left, or right. And then you go to the next intersecting point, and you can go forward, left, or right.
Or you could go backward.
Or you could go backward. But you can't go back in time.
Oh, yes, you can.
Okay, but if the string theory of this process, how the mind sends it, even it's been very well, thoroughly well established, you can never go home again. But you can. but you can't, you see. So if that's embraceable, then yes, you could turn around and go home.
Mm-hmm.
Or out of the labyrinth. Or go back to a different intersection.
Mm-hmm.
Make a different choice.
Correct.
If you can remember what choice you chose otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Because typically what ends up happening is the reason that made you think it was a good idea the first time makes you confirm the second time that it was also a good idea, and then you remember that you've already been down this rabbit hole and you didn't like it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time you come along the same process, the same path with the same process, you can't figure it out. And then you're eternally going around and around and around in a circle, spinning your life, and trying to commit suicide because you can't work and you just hope for so much more, and you just can't get there from there. It's impossible. You can't get there. Every step you take, there's somebody's kicking you in the head. Every time you turn around, somebody's peeing in your Wheaties. Everything that you do ends up, you wake up and the sun doesn't rise. Well, the reality is you went to bed at sunrise and slept all day, and then you went woke up and it was nighttime. No, it's an impossible dream. The sun didn't come up today. Then you tear into this whole process that life isn't worth living and that you can't expound upon that which is already encapsulated and crushed you in your very beingness because you're the creator and you're in charge and control of it. You don't even know that there was cheese in the middle of the maze. You didn't know that the maze was there. You're just staggering around trying to figure it out, mad because it's not going your way. And every time you run along, you run into a wall, splat. And you go, that's my manifested creation. I'd hope for so much more. And instead of looking at why you got to that place and to go splat, you turn around 90, 45, 180 degrees, and then you run like a house of fire until you hit another wall, and you go splat. And then you go, wait a minute, there we are again. Every time, every wall is slapping me in the face. Well, it's because you're running into the walls.
Uh-huh.
And then you hit that second wall and you go, see, there it is again. It is slap. Then you turn 45, 90, or 180. And then you go out halfway and you go, no, maybe I missed it. Maybe it's another way to go through there. So you turn again and go right back to the wall that you just got through running into or running backward into.
Mm-hmm.
Is it interesting in your place of walking backwards?
Mm-hmm.
We have a little issue with that because it's so much fun because the same caloric value is spent either way. The only reason that it's more when you walk backwards is because you have diminished your sight of looking where you've been.
Mm-hmm.
That's what moves those muscles in a different way that causes more caloric energy to be expended.
Mm.
That's a little sidebar. We're just in a little tear, so you just have to sort of slow us down at your leisure. Then you go splat. You go, wait a minute, what is wrong with my world that every time I turn around I hit splat? I'm tired of running into walls. I'm tired of coming into a places. My is not what I had in mind. My is less than that I would expect. My is could be so much more. The people around me could be more inviting. They could be more loving. They could be more caring. Oh, wait. I could be more loving. I could be more caring. I could find spiritual gifts that I could engage and embrace that might go me through the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a rule, so you can't hit the wall, but you can break out a window.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, happens on the Western scenes all the time. Somebody's going through the saloon window. You know that's the way it's going to go. The chair's going to go through the window, and then somebody's going to follow it.
Right.
And we're just playing with that process because, and then you use that as your gauge of your connection between non-physical and you. You use that experience as your tactile example of why it doesn't work for you.
Mm.
It would be like someone who engages in tremendous amounts of alcohol and get in trouble every single time they do, meaning have the issue and end up in the hooshkow or the incarcerated for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And they're first you go to get them out because you're loving and caring, and one more time gonna go get fetch them out of the jail or wherever they are, and you get them out, and their response to you is you say, "What in the world? How did you get it here?" And your response being, you know, every time I go get a gallon of whiskey, something like this happens to me. And you go, yeah, but see, the point is that if you realize and recognize that every time, how many times would that need to be the outcome for it to be a shocker that you would have a way to figure out that if you're going to have a gallon of alcohol, have it and go to bed. If that's your engaging commonality that you'd like to embrace, wonderful, but don't get out on the road to engage it. You see, that's what your desire is, go ahead, but confine yourself to your room and go to sleep. But that's an example, a lighthearted example of what we're trying to convey, that then you use that as the excuse of why you're disconnected. The world's out to get you. The government's out to get you. They pass laws all day, every day, why I can't do what I want to do. But yet I'm in the land of the free, in the home of the brave. But everything that I turn around allows or disallows, that engages or disengages my covenants or capacities to let me do as I'd like to do. How free is freedom?
Mm-hmm.
How much does that cost? Oh, we can't afford that.
Mm. Now, we're in the labyrinth here, so...
Yes, we are, and we've been dancing down different parallels through this little tear.
Mm-hmm.
The labyrinth, remember the conduit in the mind?
Mm-hmm.
That's also where the conduit is lain.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be laid or lain? You're doing the process, so it would be lain.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yeah.
We don't want to break any rules or dangle any particles for all practical purposes. But that's where this new conduit then can fit. Pathways. Then at that point you can have a clue if you need help. Non-physical will give you a clue.
Okay, yes, and we did talk about clue the other day, and you wanted me to look up a definition of clue.
Yes, if you'd like to. That would be delicious.
Okay, so the conduit you're saying is the pathway...
The labyrinth. The mind.
The labyrinth is the pathways, is the conduit, they're all the same?
The pathway is where the conduit is lain.
And the pathway is the labyrinth?
The pathway is the labyrinth in your mind.
Okay.
Otherwise, you could be here and see there and just go there. You wouldn't have to figure it. You wouldn't have to cipher it. You wouldn't have to figure, am I going to get hurt? Is this okay? Can I do this? Can I not do that? And blah, 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 every choice that comes along in that string. The labyrinth is rarely ever a straight line or one pathway or
both. Right. Now, is there a difference between pathway and conduit, or are they the same thing?
Conduit's what's in the pathway.
And why are they called the different things? Why are they
separate?
Because
the pathway, the mind, has multi-capacities. Multi-capacities. And there may be parts of the labyrinth that you never go to achieve or show up in.
Mm.
But you could lay conduit in it. If you embrace the idea that you could be a lover who loves, or you could be a father or a mother or a physicist or a doctor or a runner, a swimmer,
mm-hmm.
a hearer, a speaker, a listener, a fingernail grower, you have to lay that conduit, otherwise it won't be in your experience.
So the pathways are there. And it's up to us to access them.
Lay conduit so that you can have a flow to it and from it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it becomes part of that 95% of your mind that you never engage or use. And then you spend the 5% pushing against it to explain why that isn't a reality in your world, just because you can't embrace it or see that path.
Mm-hmm.
And because you can't, oh, here we go again. And because you can't see that path, then it becomes not reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's not real. The man didn't walk on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what? We're sorry. We're sort of dancing there, but take us back before we roll it home, honey.
Okay, I'm trying to bring up Webster's clue
definition. I'm sorry. We were just we thought you were pining for more, and you were actually trying to get a definition.
Yeah, I'm running away from you. Help me! Help me! Give me a definition.
And we hoped for so much more.
Yeah, I know, I know. You hoped I would just let you go on and on and on. Okay, and for some reason, I'm not getting there from here.
Isn't that interesting?
Okay. Well, they've given me a dictionary, but I don't know if it's Webster's, and they're saying clue is... anything that serves to guide or direct in the solution of a problem.
Well, interesting. Guide or direct.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't give you the answer.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Doesn't solve it.
Anything that serves to guide or direct. And then the others to make familiar or aware, so it doesn't get much better. So that's what we'll go with.
Well, no, there's more. What is it? What's the root of the word clue?
Well, this is the problem. I'm not at Webster's, which is our favorite. Let me just see. I can find.
Well, we don't want to give it away, because if we use it, it'll be subjectively approved or disapproved. So we use your words.
Okay, then we have clue. It's a verb, as we know, well, they don't get much at all.
Where did it come from? What do you do, the exegesis? What do you do? No, you call it the
home. Etymology.
Etymology, that's where to go. We were going to go hermeneutics or something.
Whoa. That sounds scary. No, they're not giving me that. Let's go to Wiki.
Okay. But we're just busting. Okay, you're going to look it up, but we don't want to influence your definition. But here's what it means. Clue comes from the ancient Greek, and it means twine.
Oh,
the
my
ball
goodness.
Of string.
Ah. Mm-hmm. So you follow the twine, follow the string. My gosh.
In that way, then you can find your way out of the labyrinth.
Wow.
It gives you a clue. Because there's parts of your mind you wouldn't dare go to because you'd be afraid that you wouldn't be able to get back. And you already clearly said that you can go back. You can't go home, but you can go back. Oh, wait, that's another rule. You can't go home, but you can't go back till you come to another intersection. Then you got to make another choice.
Yeah.
That's why people, they call that spinning your wheels.
And no one ever said that string had to follow a straight line, so.
Never. No, of course, it rarely does. Even a ball of twine doesn't.
Yeah, and that's why string theory in the physics sense, they're trying to shape the string around.
You got it, and we were waiting patiently.
Warp
it. That's the point. That's the point, because everything is linear.
Yeah.
It has to be within one of two dimensions. Oh, until there's three dimensions. Oh, now there's four dimensions. Oh, now there's five dimensions. Oh, now there's five bodies in one dimension. Oh, now there's six bodies because you got to activate the mystery landscape and it's got to go somewhere. Then you got to have another dimension for the choices that the five bodies may or may not embrace or align with. So that makes a whole other set of those same dimensions. So then you end up with 11 dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
11 dimensions is you for looking back at the other five that are in their duality, are their unlinear parallelogram. Unlinear parallelogram. Bob is going to stroke. Unlinear, parallelogram.
So what does that mean, sir?
You just got a little bit ahead. We'll have to wait, fully develop it, and we don't want to confuse because we're just doing it step by step. So you can go, aha, 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 rather than here's the answer to the question, and you didn't even know what the question was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the clue aspect is very significant because everybody wants an in. They want the shortcut. They want the fastest path. They want, now wait a minute, why does it have to be the fastest path? Because that's where your joy is. But rarely few do. No. They want to go dig a ditch and see how deep the ditch can be dug. Well, is that the fastest path to your joy? Well, I don't know, but I don't know how deep the ditch is, so I don't know. So I'm going to keep digging until somebody tells me different. Well, whose job and responsibility is that? The government, my parents, my mother, my grandparents, my children, the entomologist, the scientist, the committee, the Senate subcommittee that decides what's appropriate for me.
So the clue, how did we wind from the clue?
The labyrinth of the mind.
Into digging a ditch.
Non-physical will provide the twine.
Yeah.
And if you can, find a way to tie when you enter the labyrinth, okay, or wherever the place is that you are, your beginning place, if it can take away your fear and subjugation from continuing forward with the new confidence that if you get there and don't like it, you can find your way back. Then you'd have no fear proceeding forward. Because fear is what eliminates and sets into place all these nasty things that keep following you all the days of your life.
Yeah.
If you're fearless, you're empowered.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to take it. Now we jump right into King David, if you'd like, but you probably don't, so we'd probably wait till you ask. But little David didn't have any fear regarding Goliath.
Right.
He had twine.
Yeah.
He was empowered.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I've already whooped a bear and I've already whooped a lion.
Mm-hmm.
So my God, my God, who? Yahweh, no, we can't say his name. God, 126, no, wait, the nameless, the all-powerful one, he strengthens me. He girds my loin with righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
I am whole. I am complete. I am empowered. And if God be for me, who is going to be against me?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, whom shall I fear?
Mm-hmm.
Then you come back to your power. And there was never a doubt or a question. Either Goliath is going to stomp him with his big foot and make him a greasy spot right there in that battle, or David's God was going to activate David with power to such a degree that to an explanative that allowed him to slay Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
And once the giant fell, there wasn't too much. The fat lady started singing.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And then he gets to be known as the one after God's own heart.
Mm-hmm.
Laudable accolade if you can achieve it. Well, why couldn't you just come into your power?
Yes.
Why couldn't you just embrace it? Well, because you're afraid. Well, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Oh,
but here's where you're supposed to talk about we're God, because
well,
this
we are,
whole implication here is the outside God.
And it would be without any question or problem, except for that labyrinth that you don't know the path of.
Mm-hmm.
And so non-physical that's embracing you, whether you embrace it or not, waiting patiently, when non-physical embraces you, and then you can embrace non-physical, then you find that non-physical provides you a clue,
mm-hmm.
a ball of twine. Does non-physical tell you the way? Nope. You won't believe non-physical anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even physical.
Mm-hmm.
They can't create. They have no power.
Mm-hmm.
They have all power, but they have no power. They have no contrast to even come to a place to even notice that they're out of sync. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Non-physical may wake up one day and go to hell in a handbasket, but they won't notice, because that hell in a handbasket will be just as ubiquitously fabulous as paradise.
Mm.
It won't know the difference. You can put it in the 99th percentile and it'll be so happy it won't notice.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting after a bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so non-physical is providing the twine. And the twine is a clue.
Yeah.
And the clue gives you the choice to confidently make a direction. Because now you got a backup.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're not suggesting that you plan everything. Because if you go along your life waiting, always having a plan B, guess what? You're going to get to plan B and you're going to stop. You won't go on to plan A. Because you've already opened up plan B as the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
So make your plan Bs real good, because that will be your manifested reality, because you, in your labyrinth, the sieving through your mind will not allow you to go any further past that.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time, without fail, without exception. There are not so many of those that we do these days.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, that's one of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the labyrinth of our mind, we're laying down conduits, we use the string, the twine, the clue to keep us, is it to keep us attached to non-physical or just to keep the fear bits away?
No, that you can sift it through your mind because you have a way back.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do if you couldn't fail?
Mm-hmm.
well, that sounds real cheeky. And we say that, and people go, oh, that's more of that old age, new age, age business where we're just supposed to think ourselves happy and delusionally move ourselves into a place where we can drink sewage and be happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we're saying at all. However, that absolutely can be your outcome. But if plan B is that the sewage is coming one way or the other, you better get aligned with it because it'll be your experience.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got a rule in the labyrinth regarding it, then what's going to happen is for you, in that particular place, you're going to bump into the edge of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
The boxwood is going to end the path.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to be undone. And then you'd hope for so much more. So then your only choice is to turn around and go back to the next intersection and make a different choice.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a problem with that. We don't have a problem with that, but you can't use a dead end as the reason why it was never going to work the first time. Because it wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have the rallying crews all around you, above you in the labyrinth, saying, no, don't go that way, it ends, go this way. No, don't go that way, it ends, go this way. No, don't go, and you've got the ball of string that you can work it out. Because you'd be rarely, if you follow the string right back out, you'd get back to where you started.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the goal. The goal is to find new paths in your labyrinth of your mind that can allow new places for conduit to be laid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, now that would be late now.
Mm-hmm.
Too late. Oh, wait, it's not too late. Too late? Too late? That's in Mississippi. Wait.
Tulane University, yeah. You cut it out.
Through that process, and see, the sieve in the labyrinth of the mind is what allows you to have a new concept, a new journey, a new path that is embraceable.
Okay, so we've got, yeah, there we go. We've got the fulcrum of the mind is the sieve and is the labyrinth. So we're kind of building the anatomy of the brain and the mind here.
Now, we did this in your medical world, dealing with schizophrenia, with grand mal seizures, with narcolepsy, all these different dynamics, we sort of laid this groundwork of how those apply in those different places in your mind that aren't tapped or touched,
mm-hmm.
which what sometimes can allow someone to be considered crazy or genius. There really is, if you look up the definition, there is no difference.
Mm-hmm.
But from that dynamic that they found a way to get a little deeper in the labyrinth.
Mm.
They found more place for more conduit to lay. Then all of a sudden you could have arrows saying go this way, arrows go that way, arrows go this way.
Mm-hmm.
My foot is rotting off. I have gangrene. I'm in a place in my mind that I noticed this in a good deal of antibiotics, and you hate those medicines, whatever it is, debriding, whatever happens that can allow that not to be your reality, even though it already is. That you can find yourself in a place of cancer, but it doesn't have to take your life force.
Now, what I kind of missed what the point here. The schizophrenics found a way to get deeper in their labyrinth and found arrows in their mind to direct them.
They found the ball of twine.
But it didn't seem to help
easier.
Them.
Yes, absolutely. Schizophrenics don't have those problems.
What problems?
The problems that everyone else figures out that it'd be wrong to have schizophrenia. They're not bothered by it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they're on their path, and they have their twine, and they have these comfort things, these hot buttons, these hot things. We say hot things because we don't know a better word. Things that comfort them.
Mm-hmm.
Agoraphobia. I'm good as long as I'm in my house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, they're perfectly fine in their house.
Mm-hmm.
Until you say that it is inappropriate for you to be agoraphobic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then you keep going. You want to go to acrophobia? Okay, then pick your phobia. If you've got the string and you can find your path through and that works for you, then go with that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have that string, then you're rarely going to feel comfortable going into places in your mind that might even embrace that there is such a thing as a boogeyman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you're in a place in your mind that you've laid conduit and say, whoa, I've been here before, that boogeyman's under that bed, and all you got to do is say, come on, boogeyman, it's me or you. Me or you one's been to get a whooping. I don't know which one, but I ain't afeard. Guess what? the same as turning on the light. The boogeyman disappears.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've not laid that conduit in that place with your ball of twine having a clue, with non-physical helping you, that one item or articulated idea can do you in from the inception.
Yes, so what about some direction on how to open up conduits?
Well, get a clue.
Get a clue, Carolyn.
Get a clue.
Yeah.
Get a clue. If you can find your way, then you don't have to remember. You don't have to remember where you are. You can go to places you've never been before because you're no further than where the string lets you go from your last intersection. And then you know where that string came from, so then you can choose another one. It may or may not please you. And it's all through the relegation of the sieving of your mind, if that's okay or not okay. You're not trying to jump to the center of the labyrinth to get to the cheese.
But, it's like, okay, take the string and start exploring your mind. But what's a way to do that? Are you asking yourself questions? Are you exploring new ideas? What is the thought behind it?
No, specifically we're talking about taking a clue, a ball of twine, string, a big ball of twine, and where you are specifically, where you are geographically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Tie the string off there and begin your journey.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that if you had a fear of losing your way, you might not even find the beach?
Mm-hmm.
And if you couldn't find the beach, but now you can see it, so you know if you keep going that way, sooner or later you're going to run into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you had such fear that you were going to get lost eternally and would never find it, then you could tie a twine, a string, a clue to your front door with all the mosquitoes and the guinea wasps and all those horrible things that live at your front door. Tie it to that knob and start out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get close to the end of that twine and you haven't hit the beach yet, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you don't have to be abjectly locked down in fear. See, I told you this was going to happen. I told you. Well, then that's plan B, and that's what shows up, and then you end up on top of the mountain. You can really see the beach then, but you're further away from it than you were. But it's not all lost and undone. You follow that twine, that clue, to bring you back to your door, and you can begin again.
Mm-hmm.
You have confidence because you are trusting non-physical clue, twine, for your path or direction.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what the definition was? No, we don't want to speak words that aren't appropriate.
Yeah, it probably was something like that. Anything that serves to guide or direct in the solution of a problem or mystery.
But, how many mysteries are there? Lots.
Mm-hmm.
Ta-da.
So that's finding the beach, but I'm just curious
about someone who doesn't
even know what part of the 95% of their brain they haven't explored.
You do it all day, every day. You embrace new things. You have new technologies.
Mm-hmm.
What if a technology comes along that you can't embrace in your mind? Then that becomes lost and undone.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know the difference between an RF and an IR remote control.
Mm-hmm.
Well, until you embrace that, then you're not going to even go down the aisle where that might be stored.
Mm-hmm.
Until you embrace it, and that's with string, that you can go there and I have to have an RF. No. I prefer IR. Well, the infrared, you have to point it toward the contraption you're trying to operate remotely. But if you have an RF, that's a radio frequency. That goes everywhere, and you can point it away from it, and it'll still work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's absolutely the better way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But until you come into that place to try one or the other, fear will not allow either into your experience until it's already created and then it shows up in your experience.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get to choose and decide if that's the one that you want or don't want.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a dessert, just like nut pate, just like wood floors over carpet, just like rainy side of the mountain rather than dry side of the mountain. You don't know that, and your mind won't allow you to embrace it until you come into a place where you've experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you make the wrong choice, you only get one choice, remember. Oh, that, wait, that's not true. But you come to that place, I've only got one shot. I've only got one chance. I've only got one opportunity. I've only got one day. I've only got one now. I have a whole lot of nows that are stacked up, but I only have one at a time. Uh-oh. Now wait, what if the mind allows you to have more than one now at a time?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to a new place in your mind. Well, you wouldn't go there unless you had non-physical string that you could use to pull yourself back to the place that was not lost in space. Didn't they do a show about that?
I sure did. It's scary.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger!
Oh, man.
Well, those are the places that you haven't been before. Mm-hmm. And you desperately want to be there. You desperately have to be there. Lord, everybody will be happy over there.
Mm-hmm.
The glory land way. Oh, if I could just get to there, everything will be all right. Well, it ain't going to be all right until everything gets all right over here. Because when you get over there, if it ain't all right over here, you ain't going to notice.
Mm-hmm.
The same problem of disconnection and lostness that you're going to be lost in here that you're trying to achieve to get to over there will still be your same reality. It is law. Your law.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't usurp your law. The only reason you can't is because you won't allow it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't accept it. You can't allow it. You can't believe it. You can't think those high-minded thoughts that bring you into a place of a revolution, an evolution. Oh, no, wait, we're sorry. That's called a revelation. Revelatory, isn't it?
Very.
Your melting titanium's going to be fun tonight, huh?
Yes. Well, do you think you've explored with us the labyrinth of the mind enough to call this kind of a short tape?
Yes, if you want to, that's fine, because you're probably going to want to make it a whole book, but that's a good teaser.
Mm-hmm.
to open it up, because knowing you, you'll want to beat it down to get exactly the meticulous matriculations to a point where it can be fully, thoroughly developed.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's enough to be, well, yeah, what about that? The scientist has proven that we're only using 5-7% of the mind.
Yeah.
What's the rest of it for?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Whoa, wait a minute. We'd hoped for so much more. I lived a full life. I had a good run. I went 4% of my course, and I'm done. Well,
so,
that's never the way that is. But
yes.
And yet that's the outcome, because every other possibility is lost in the labyrinth of the mind.
Well, yeah, and that's the fear-based 95% of the area of the mind that we won't explore.
Don't do that, that'll kill you, and don't do that, that'll kill you, and don't do that, that'll hurt you, and don't do that, that'll make you bored, don't take that, don't smoke that, that'll hurt you, don't drink that glass of red wine, it'll help you. Oh, no, wait, it'll hurt. No, help, hurt. Well, just depending on the day, that glass of red wine will make you complete or ruin you forever. So,
well, what is that doing to the mind when people get
confused? They don't have a clue. This path opens up as a labyrinth, and so it's engaged. This is the way to go, and they go, and it's the path to destruction. Levaquin is the drug of choice. Oh, it made my legs fall off. Okay,
so,
well, it might not have been the choice for you.
Okay. I know you're on a rant, but let's.
Yes, sir. Sorry.
If we're going to focus down, then I have to interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't have a clue, does that mean they just kind of stop there and they won't go further?
Right. Or they get to an end and don't hope for so much more. See, I told you it wasn't going to work out.
Yeah.
And then they use that to argue for their limitation of their process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They get themselves in this process and have no other hope or chance or opportunity, and then it becomes validation of why they're less than, and why they don't have non-physical, and why their mind can sieve it all. It's not even sieving, it's just pouring it through. Just pouring it through. And if Lou Dobbs doesn't validate it, then it's not.
So we've talked about the fulcrum of the mind, the sieve of the mind, the labyrinth, pathways and the conduit. And we're working.
Now let's ask a question, just for posterity. Let's ask the question. What dimensions does the mind operate within?
Well, it's supposedly the 3, 4, and 5 dimensions.
Who said?
I don't know.
It can run on all dimensions.
Uh-huh.
That's how, with a clue, you can, in physical, speak about future experiences.
So all dimensions, how many is that to non-physical?
Well, no, that can't get there from there. Let's just get you to 11, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
If we can get you to 11 dimensions, that wouldn't come up in a conversation. Is that soothing? Because any way we say it, it's going to be incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could get physical up to 11 dimensions,
uh-huh.
then that'll take care of those questions. You'll have the answer and you will know.
So then the obvious question there is, how do we get to 11 dimensions?
Starting recognizing that there's more than one. that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
Start recognizing the different parallels that you're living now.
Mm-hmm.
People come back all day, every day, and they do this. I went this way, and there was a traffic accident, so I went a different way. They have no problem changing in the middle of the stream.
Uh-huh.
They'll listen to the report and give a futuristic report that the I-10 is all blocked up. That's no mystery. They knew it was going to be blocked up when they got on that interstate.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll listen for a future event that this is going to be, and they'll make their directional response regarding that futuristic reality, which isn't real yet because they're not there.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll use that as their guide to take them a different pathway.
Mm-hmm.
We would say there are many dimensions as you could make choices.
Uh-huh.
But that would be more than your strain would allow your mind to sieve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we'd lose you, and then we wouldn't have any more conversation, and then we'd see you in the Ides of March, and that'd be a good day. But rather than that, let's soften it to the point where you can embrace the parts that are. Then you can come to a place and then sort of gently develop it to a place where it starts making a logical progression for your mind's eye.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind's eye. You've heard people talk about that. What is that? What's your mind's eye?
Your imagination.
Is it?
I don't know.
I don't either. Doesn't make sense to us either. What you see through your mind, well, that's the part you get all clogged up and get you all contracted about, why you can't be happy where you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that says that you're less than. That's the part that says that you're not a creator. That's the part that says you're not powerful. That's the part that says you're less than. That's the part that says you're sick. That's the part that says you're disconnected. That's the part that says you can't get there from now.
But isn't it also the part that can visualize the perfection?
If you allow it. But then you start, then when you do that, we'd say perfect words. And then we'd say, okay, Carolyn, what's perfection? And you go, well, I don't know. I haven't been there. And so then you're lost and undone again. Now it becomes back to we're chasing the impossible dream. But you've got your string.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not the way it suits you, you can follow your string back to make another choice.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one in your 3-2-1 process.
Mm-hmm.
That's simpler and clearer, but until you come to the place where there are multi-facets of your multi-dimension of your reality, of your beingness, you're not going to get there from there.
Mm-hmm. So where does the string, our string theory we're talking about here apply to the 3-2-1 process?
Okay. You are where you are. That's an is. An is.
Mm-hmm.
And you like that is, stay right there. Don't do a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Go no further. You're done. Good. Be happy right there. Okay, but you want a different experience, and you don't know how it's going to come out because you've not been there before. And you can't even articulate it to a point that it might even be something that would be engaging. What would have to go through your mind that it would be a good idea to jump out of an airplane? People do it all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
And until they've done it, there might be fear regarding it, or they may just throw caution to the wind and say, I don't care, I want this experience, I'm going to do it. And if I go splat, I go splat. And if I don't, I'm going to do it again. It jazzes me. They had a piece of string that allowed them to jump out of that airplane,
mm-hmm.
to embrace it, and not let fear subjugate their reality to be a non-skydiving skydiver.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very simple example, but it's a good one. I mean, it's why do you do anything? I want that experience. I want the thrill of it. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I don't care. I'm going anyway. I don't care what you say. I'm going to do this anyway. And we say, hooray, hooray, hooray. Now you're in your power, and you've got your strength, and you can move it through the labyrinth of your mind, and it can be your physical reality. And if you hit a wall inside your mind, you have your string that will bring you back to the last intersection, and you can make a different choice. Or you can twirl that string all the way back to the beginning and start again.
Mm-hmm. Well, but then how does that relate to 3, 2, 1? Because
okay.
You said
I
the
am
string.
Where I am.
Let me just finish the question just so
sure.
we get down.
Yeah.
You said that the string was your number one. So how does
it's
string fit into the 3, 2, 1 when we're already there?
Yes, no. The string isn't, you're right. That was attaching the tactility of the string into the example of the number one. That's not exactly correct. It works, but it's not exactly correct. Two is not physical. That's the clue. That's the string. In one, you're counting on the string so that you don't get lost in your defining of your manifestation that this is indeed something that you want in your reality. And you have the confidence now because you have two that you can hold on to, that even if you make this choice and it's not exactly what you had in mind, that Costa Rica isn't the best choice that Maui will do, that string allowed you because you could go back to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Because you laid a string. You tied it to the doorknob.
Mm-hmm.
Books are still stuck in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
That you weren't confident enough. Souls on this to bring the books. But they can come because now there's a string that can get them there from Connecticut to you.
Mm-hmm.
See? Even the bookshelf showed up to put them on. But not in the beginning. Right?
Right.
Well, very good. Does that make that...
Yeah, that's nice. Okay, so... In terms of labyrinth of the mind, is that enough at this span of nowness?
It's okay if you're good with it. You may have more questions, but after you sort of sift on it a little bit, you may have some more.
Okay. Well, I think it's good. I think we did a great job. So I'm going
wonderful.
to
end this recording.